This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We have Fleur Murphy, who is a playwright, and is going to be talking to us about The Fence, a new production happening at Northcote Town Hall Arts Centre. So, Fleur, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So, Fleur, before we get started talking about The Fence, which sounds like a really interesting piece of theatre, can you tell us a little bit about your own history as a writer? Because, I mean, being a playwright is probably one of the more difficult to sustain creative processes. How did you get into it and like how have you kept going with it?
So I originally started out as an actor, which I think a lot of creatives tend to do. I grew up in country Victoria, so my first kind of exposure to theatre was through community theatre, youth theatre that was there. So my early years were spent dressing up and being silly and and doing all that kind of fun stuff.
Do you remember what your first performance was?
My first performance, I did dancing when I was younger, but I think in terms of acting, what was it? I think it was Robin Hood for a youth theatre company. Okay. And I was actually playing the sheriff's daughter. Oh. It was very crazy and had this horrendous laugh. It was, I guess, kind of like the comic relief of the show. But it was a very kind of like physical, very silly, quite a comedic role.
Great. Yeah. And so what happened from there?
So I went to the University of Ballarat, to the Arts Academy.
It's a great school.
Yes, it was fantastic. So I did a Bachelor of Arts in theatre performance. And so that was a really fantastic course because, you didn't just kind of get treated as an actor. You also had to make work and you had to do everything. You would have to write, you would have to find the costumes, you would have to learn how to light it and run a soundboard. So I think being exposed to quite a holistic approach to theatre making was really exciting and just kind of, I guess, made me appreciate all of the people that are involved in like putting a work on. And then I didn't really come to writing until much later on. I'd moved to Melbourne afterwards and tried to do the acting thing and, you know, got some work and good old TV commercials and those bits and pieces that helped pay the bills. But I think I really, I guess just I was curious about how to write for theatre and how to write for film and TV. And so I just kind of started. And so, I wrote my first piece about, I think, 12 years ago. And that piece has been picked up by another company. And it's going over to Edinburgh, to the Edinburgh Festival soon. So, it's exciting how these things can have, multiple lives over time.
What's the name of that one, if anyone's over there to check it out?
Shadows of Angels.
Shadows of Angels.
Yes, so right. Anglesey Performing Arts Company are doing it over there, along with two other works, Australian works. So representing the Aussies over in Edinburgh.
That's fantastic. And you have some previous works, Nothing and Hearth as well.
In 2019, I studied a master's in writing for performance at VCA, and that was a chance to, I guess, really kind of explore what this playwriting thing was and if I could do it, if I wanted to do it. And out of that course, I wrote Hearth, which was on last year at La Mama.
Sorry, I say it wrong every time.
No, that's okay.
And I remember we did an interview about Hearth last year.
That was on at La Mama last year and was on the VCE playlist. And we did a little tour around regional Victoria, which was really cool. And Nothing it's my first adaptation of a Danish novel. It's quite dark and quite bleak. If you like that kind of like weird Scandi kind of vibe, then
which is I think still very in right now.
And I guess it kind of bordered on a little bit kind of like like Lord of the Flies. About a group of school children that come together, and one of the kids in their class says that nothing matters, and then they all want to prove to him that things do matter, so they make this pile of meaning, but things get a bit dark and crazy.
Okay, and I must say, speaking of dark, just before we go into talking about The Fence, I just want to put out a little bit of a content warning for anyone that's listening at home as well, because there's a little bit of a discussion around domestic violence.
Yeah.
So if anyone is feeling sensitive towards that sort of topic, feel free to sort of, you know, step away for a moment if you need to. And also, we do have resources online at joy.org.au. But otherwise, please do stay tuned, because it sounds like a really fascinating story and incredibly relatable, I think, for pretty much everyone who lives in, you know, reasonable density living.
Yeah.
So with that now aside, Fleur, please tell us about The Fence.
Yeah, sure. So The Fence is it's a one-woman play. It's told through the lens of a character, an unnamed character, who we just call Woman. She's a 30-something wife and mum who lives in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. One day the boundary fence between her house and her neighbour's house comes down, and that, I guess, exposes unsettling secrets. And she is then compelled to navigate that very delicate line between observation and intervention.
And so, I mean, I feel like anyone, as I said, that has lived with neighbours has overheard things and not really know what to do. Sometimes you overhear things that are like less troubling and, you know, intimacy.
A bit more salacious.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I know from my own experience, I once lived on a corner block where on both sides of my home there were things going on in my neighbours' houses that I at the time felt like I wanted to intervene, but there is this weird kind of trepidation about invading other people's privacy. So how have you handled that tension between feeling responsible but sort of allowing people privacy and anonymity in the script?
Well, it's also kind of based on my own experience as well. So I do live in a outer northern suburb where a lot of real estate agents are taking advantage of the large blocks and I guess putting three townhouses on things. So there was a situation where, you know, once the fence was removed, you know, there were things that I was kind of hearing or seeing that could be perceived, sometimes could not be perceived as, you know, family violence. And so I think this play is, you know, it's not an answer to like what you should do in the situation. It's part of that ongoing conversation of this is a horrible, horrible issue that that we are dealing with. And for the people that are on the side of potentially being able to act or support, you know, what is it that we can do? How can we connect in those moments? And also, you know, on a grander scale, like what, you know, what can our governments do? What can organisations do as well? Yeah.
I mean, it is one of Australia's biggest concerns, really, family violence. And it is like a systematic problem that has to be tackled. So, as I said, it's a very relevant story. Tell us a little bit about who is playing the lead of this one-woman show.
Yes. So Louisa Mignone is a fantastic actress, and I've had the pleasure of working quite early on with both Louisa and the director, Alice Darling, in the collaboration and the making of this work. So it's kind of been made over about like 3 years now.
Was that on purpose or was that
COVID?
Well,
we all know what happened a few years ago.
Yeah.
But also I think too, like during COVID as well, you know, we were all kept in our homes, particularly in Melbourne.
Yeah.
That sense of community and that sense of being there for one another sometimes, you know, was a really beautiful thing, and for other times for people that were in these situations where they were experiencing family violence, you know, that kind of became exacerbated in those situations. So so I reached out to Alice very early on to start to kind of develop this piece. And then as I was kind of writing it like I knew of Lou and her work, and her voice just kept on like coming into my mind. And so, yeah, there definitely became a point when this piece was written for her.
Yeah. Was that a new thing for you? Had you ever done anything similar in the past? Written for someone?
Some characters in some work. Right. Sometimes I have actors in mind.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's a kind of a fun little like wanting to kind of see where you can push them or give them opportunities to do something different that they might not usually do. But like Lou's performance is absolutely mesmerizing because, you know, it's not a tiny feat doing a one-woman show and holding an audience for around 70 minutes. So she draws you in, and she not only tells the story of woman, but she also plays like all of the other characters that inhabit this world.
Oh, wow.
From her, you know, 3-year-old daughter to her husband to the local real estate agent who I think everyone will just secretly like laugh at when they his fabulous comic relief. Mm-hmm. To the neighbours, to her mum. So there's quite a gymnastics in that, which is just kind of so amazing to watch. And it really does, I guess, showcase a performer's skill.
Well, I'm curious, at what point did you decide that it was going to be a one-person play rather than have a collection of actors?
Quite early on.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that was because you know, there are themes and things that I'm kind of exploring with the work that kind of spoke to it being a one-person show, you know, isolation, feeling like you are alone in these situations. Also, I don't have the lived experience of, you know, being in a volatile kind of like hostile situation at home. I've got like a loving, wonderful husband, and so there were experiences that I couldn't speak to,
right.
But I felt that I could still address like through that experience and still try and find a way to kind of question like all these things that we are trying to question and address about this issue.
And so tell us how the Darebin Arts Speakeasy is involved with this as well.
They have been amazing. So they are co-producing the work with us. They actually supported a development about a year ago where we could go in for 2 weeks, and they gave us space and some funds. And then so lucky that they've programmed us as well. So they're supporting us with funding and with the venue and everything. They're just anything we need, they're there. It's really wonderful.
It's a really great system that they've created. And also the Northcote Town Hall is a wonderful space for live theatre as well. Have you had other shows there before, or is this your first time?
No, this is my first show there, but it's a venue that I've had on, I guess, like my bucket list for a while.
Great.
It's really wonderful to do, I guess, a work that in a way is so intimate in such a big, vast space. Like there's kind of a really interesting dynamic in that as well. So, and we've got a fantastic set designer, Corinne Larch, who has just made this amazing set, which can move around and seem very like large and also very like reminiscent of that kind of 50s, 60s like suburbia. All the team are fantastic.
It sounds great. And if anyone wants to find out more or looking to see the show, what website should they head to for this one?
So the Darebin Arts website.
Great. And if people want to know more about yourself and your work too, do you have any socials or a website that they should look at?
Yes.
I'm just trying to ask you a chance.
I'm like, how do you do that? I have a website, so just flairmurphy.com. Okay. And yes, I am on the socials as well. So Instagram and Facebook and you'll find me.
Yeah, start with the website.
yeah, that's always got the links to the things.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on getting this show happening as part of the Darebin Arts Speakeasy as well.
Thank you.
And looking forward to seeing what you do next.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much for being talking to Fleur Murphy here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.